The White House confirming Najib Razak will visit in September. The Malaysian Prime Minister is neck deep in a massive corruption scandal at home. A fund he set up called 1MDB is facing money laundering investigations in at least six countries, including the United States. Najib himself faces accusations of siphoning nearly $700 million from the fund.
So Walmart is going to be selling its products, which is actually the first time Walmart sold its products outside its own universe, through Google's Google Express. And you have a Google Assistant at home, which is a voice-activated device. You could say, I need more toilet paper, for example, and order would directly go through Google's system, and you would get toilet paper shipped to you from Walmart.
It's not all doom and gloom for people wanting to legally cash in on the cryptocurrency craze. There is once again hope that Bitcoin could be available to new investors in the form of an exchange-traded fund, or ETF.
One, you have now have the CBOE announcing they're going to list Bitcoin futures. The second thing is the SEC itself. And I think the SEC has shown a few things that look like they're a little more liberal than they were a year ago. So I think those two things are why you see renewed hope that there could be an ETF.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's August 25th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here bright and early with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and the final business day of the week. Coming up in the program this morning, a little bit later on this morning, because Rixini is off today on vacation, we thought we'd talk a little bit about the business of ice cream. That sounds kind of delicious heading into the weekend, doesn't it? And in a minute, we'll bring in Paul Nolte for our regular Friday conversation about our portfolios and the economy. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian stocks are mostly higher as market players watch for comments of the central bankers' annual meeting later today. Both the big central bankers will be talking, the ECB and Janet Yellen from the Fed here in this country. We'll be closely watching that. We'll talk, too, about that with Paul coming up. Japan's benchmark Nikkei edged up about 0.5%. Australia was little changed. South Korea was up a little bit. Hong Kong's Hang Seng gained about 1% and a point, while the Shanghai Composite was up about 1.5%. On Wall Street, the Standard & Poor's 500 index fell about 5 points. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just about 28 points. And the market drifted up and down since the S&P set a record high earlier this month. The event that we're watching in Jackson Hole, Wyoming today, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen will speak during the markets. European Central Bank President Mario Draghi expected to speak at the meeting as well, probably after the European markets are closed. Let's look at Europe this morning in terms of where the numbers are. First of all, we go to, markets here refreshing. The FTSE is up about 1/3. The DAX appears to be up about 1/3 as well. So does the CAC. All of them up a little bit this morning in trading. The FTSE up 26 points, the DAX up 47, and the CAC is up about 18 points. Futures are pointing toward opening gains this morning on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 25 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up just a little bit as well. Oil is at $47.75 a barrel, up about 0.5%. All eyes on Texas with a lot of refining capacity there in the eye of Hurricane Harvey, which is pushing toward the Gulf Coast of Texas. Hurricane warnings there are in effect. That could impact how much we're paying for gas. As a matter of fact, gas prices have ticked up in the last day or so in anticipation of all of that. Some other news we're watching. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles has declined to comment on inquiries involving potential deals with other car makers for strategic assets in response to a request by the Italian market regulator. Fiat Chrysler shares have been trading higher after Chinese SUV maker Great Wall said it was interested in buying the Jeep brand. South Korean court has sentenced billionaire Samsung heir Lee Jae-yong to 5 years in prison after finding him guilty of offering bribes to the country's former president and other crimes. It said Lee was also guilty of embezzlement, hiding assets overseas, concealing profits from criminal acts, and perjury. Well, Paul Nolte is here for our regular Friday talk. He's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, good morning and happy Friday.
Good morning. Nice to be with you. I should be in Jackson Hole, but I'm here.
We talked yesterday by email, and you were still looking for your invitation yesterday.
It got lost in cyberspace somewhere, yes.
Yeah. What a nice place to have a meeting out in Jackson Hole.
You know, the central bankers do pick some nice spots. Davos, Switzerland, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And so you kind of wonder what their mentality is going into some of those places as opposed to coming into Chicago, St. Louis, or maybe San Francisco, something like that.
Yeah, someplace where they would actually get to see what the local communities are dealing with. Because you bring up that point, because there is a difference in what the wealthy are seeing and happening to them and what is happening in ordinary communities, isn't there?
And it's one of the things that I think is the big disconnect, and it's one of the things the central bankers are really struggling with. They've been lamenting the fact that inflation is not picking up, and they can't figure out why. By the textbook, the Phillips curve, with employment down as low as it is, we should be seeing a tick up in inflation. Certainly wages, we should be able to demand higher wages because their companies are struggling to find workers. So that's the textbook way of looking at the economy, and we're not seeing that. And so the quantitative easing that's been going on, the very easy monetary policy, has not made it down to the regular economy. So the government or the central banks, by buying government bonds, et cetera, doesn't do anything for your pocketbook or mine. All it does is take some of those bonds out of the marketplace and keep interest rates artificially low. You and I can't borrow at those rates. You know, when interest rates went negative, the banks weren't paying us to borrow. They're not paying companies to borrow. So there is still a cost of borrowing money. But a lot of those companies then did borrow at those low rates and used it not to expand production, but to buy back stock. Again, a little bit of financial engineering. Mm-hmm. All of that really doesn't do much for the economy. So it's that financial part of it. And that's really, I think, where the inflation is in the financial markets. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see how the central banks start to unwind all of this quantitative easing. And I think they're going to be touching on it lightly today as they go through their Jackson Hole meetings.
Yeah, I think at least in terms of Janet Yellen, it seems in recent weeks, things have been short-circuited there. I know they had plans to do a lot this year, maybe even another interest rate. But do you think we'll hear Janet Yellen talk about what you've just mentioned in terms of why things don't seem to be rolling out the way they should?
It's kind of a touchy subject. They've eliminated a couple of their indicators that they were using, and they have talked about in the past really relying on these as ways to take a look at the economy. And both of those indicators have turned lower, indicating weakness in the economy. And so they've kind of said, well, we're not going to be focused on those anymore. We're looking at other things. So when they're so data dependent and looking at each piece of economic data that comes out, it tends to make them very short term in their thinking. As opposed to taking a look out over the next 3 to 5 years and see what really should be done. Should they raise rates? Probably so. The economy, I think, can handle it. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger concern is really the balance sheet and how they go about unwinding that balance sheet. And I think that will be more of an issue for Wall Street than it will be for Main Street.
Yellen has to be careful what she says. The markets will still be open. Draghi, not so much, because the markets in Europe will be closed.
Right. And I think really the more important discussion is going to be Draghi's, because Europe actually is picking up. If you look at their manufacturing index and some of their service indexes, the European economy is actually gaining some strength and probably a little bit stronger than the U.S. So for him to be talking very dovishly, very accommodative in their monetary policy, I think is going to be a little tough for him to pull off. So he's going to have to start talking a little bit more and getting the markets prepared for what we've been doing here in the United States in raising rates.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the major indexes have pulled farther from the records they set this past month. The Standard & Poor's 500 lost 5 points on Thursday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 28 points to finish at 21,783. The NASDAQ was down 7 to 62,71. With the ink still wet on their agreement to marry, Amazon and Whole Foods have announced plans to lower prices on a variety of items, including avocados, salmon, and almond butter, goods that might previously have been too pricey for some customers. The ripple effect from Amazon's $14 billion purchase of Whole Foods was felt across the grocery industry. Shares of Kroger, Walmart, Target, and Costco collapsed after the price cuts were announced, erasing $12 billion in combined market value. Hurricane Harvey is headed toward a refinery-rich stretch of the Gulf Coast, and drivers might soon feel the impact of potential supply disruptions. Wholesale gasoline futures rose 3% overnight. Analysts say price increases will quickly reach gas stations. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program. And we're here with Paul Nolte this morning. He is a senior vice president, senior portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, economic news this week, not a lot of it out there, but we did see some earnings, more earnings this week. Anything surprise you from the past week?
You know, not really. When you take a look, when we get down to the end of the month, usually the economic data is kind of the second and third tier type of data. The housing data was a little bit weak. And I think some of that goes back to the fact that housing prices are doing well and rising faster than what we're seeing wage growth. So it's getting a little bit harder for the average person to get into a home. And I think we're starting to see some of that slow down. Household formation is at its lowest level in 8 years. So housing is going to struggle here a little bit. And so because there was that void in the economic data and to a certain extent earnings data, I think the markets were a little bit more focused on Washington than they normally are. And the thought that maybe Congress is kind of getting their act together with a discussion about tax cuts and tax reform got the markets all excited until Trump talked about holding the government hostage to maybe build his wall. And we are facing a potential government shutdown later in September, and that got the markets a little bit more nervous. So it was really more about Washington this week than normal.
The two leaders, the Senate Majority Leader and the House Speaker, say no way, no way are we going to shut down the government. Who do we believe in this case? I mean, we have mixed messages coming out of Washington on that.
You know, it's always pushed to the brink. We did this in 2014, 2015, when the U.S. got downgraded from AAA to AA, and we had a shutdown for a little while. We've had government shutdowns in the past. But again, it's brinksmanship when you're talking about the two political parties trying to get their agenda through. And when push comes to shove, we're now at the point where maybe we can't pay bills and do what we're supposed to do because the funding hasn't been approved, that we really start to push some things through. So, again, I think it's political posturing at this point. And if the government shuts down for a couple of days, it's not the end of the world. If we shut down for 6 weeks, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. Reminder, too, that there's one party in power in Washington, too. The Republicans are in charge of everything, so they can do it if they want or not, right? I mean,
well, we've seen
a little bit of obstructionism there.
But again, the Republicans have shown they're not a cohesive group because they did not do anything with health care, and that was certainly the one thing that, coming into office, they said, we will absolutely roll back Obamacare, and we saw some fraction within the Republican Party that did not allow that to happen. So, again, to get the Republicans all together, it's going to be a tough one to do.
We talked about gas prices there, the hurricane coming into Texas. It brings us to the idea of energy. I mean, energy has been sort of beaten over the head this year. Are we going to see any of these areas improve, do you think?
You know, it's interesting because on the other side, we've seen technology do great for the last year, year and a half. Technology has been the weakest part of the sectors in the S&P 500. And I think we're maybe getting to the end of that. When you take a look at what's happened to gas prices, it's been in a trading range really since about the last year and a half, from the low 40s to maybe as high as 50, and we're at 47 or so today. It really needs to get above $50 a barrel consistently, I think, for energy stocks to do well. The part of the market that is doing well are the refineries. They're at capacity. They're able to charge what they need to charge. So if you're taking a look at a place in the energy market to hide out, the refineries are doing pretty well. The big majors like ExxonMobil, Chevron, they're struggling, but they have at least a good dividend of 3 to 4% that you're getting to wait for energy prices to turn around. It's not there yet. They are still performing poorly versus the market, but I think that's probably the next area that may see some outperformance maybe as we get through the end of the year into early next year.
What else do you like for our portfolios?
Oh, still love the international markets. You know, we've been talking about it all year, and really since the election, international markets have been the stellar performers. They're getting a boost two ways. One is the weaker dollar, so you're able to translate that same dollar into more dollars here in the U.S. from a weaker dollar. And as I mentioned earlier, European economies are doing better. Emerging markets are doing better. And the emerging economies, actually, from a financial perspective, are not laden with the debt the U.S. is and a lot of the European countries are. So they're actually in much better shape right now. There's a lot of funds that are starting to go into emerging markets and international, so investors are starting to recognize it. But after a 5-6 year period of underperformance, I think we're probably in for 3-4 years of outperformance. We've had one very good year so far, a year and a half, in those markets. So I think we're probably in the fourth inning of international outperforming U.S. markets. So that is by far and away our favorite right now.
We'd love to hear that word outperforming. That's a wonderful Friday term.
It absolutely is. It's what we live for.
Anything going on this weekend, Paul?
This weekend finally will be a quiet one around the house. We've got a little bit of travel last week. We've got a little bit of travel coming up the next couple weeks. So it's going to be a quiet one in the cool environment of Chicago.
All right. Well, Paul, we'll see you again next Friday. Thanks as always for coming in today.
Absolutely.
Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's an SVP, Senior Portfolio Manager there. You can always visit at kingsview.com.
From ABC News Tech Trends, the Facebook safety check is getting an upgrade. As the recent terror attack in Barcelona reminds us, when an emergency strikes, spreading word of your safety to friends and family is very important. That's why Facebook now has made Safety Check a permanent feature. And Gadget's Dana Wallman says it will have its own dedicated hub in the app,
where you can find the disaster that's happened and mark yourself safe, whereas before, the app had to prompt you to mark yourself safe.
But Wallman says it's important that Facebook works to make sure those notifications work correctly, so it doesn't need to send out updates on people that you know are safe.
I think the whole idea is that you do want to know when people who were vulnerable are safe, not so much that people who were probably safe are safe.
In the past, the feature had also been activated when there wasn't a real emergency, leading to stressed out friends and relatives prodding users with safety check requests. With Tech Trends, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you with us this morning for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. It is the business of ice cream that we're focusing on today. Rick Cini, by the way, is off today. Normally, we do aviation and travel, but we thought we would use the opening today to talk a little bit about something that's near and dear to a lot of our hearts and stomachs. And we're happy to have with us today Chip Graters with Graters Ice Cream. You probably know this if you are loyal to a brand. This is a good ice cream, and some of us in Chicago like to travel to the suburbs just for this. Chip, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to be with. Good that you're here, because this is, you know, one of the things we think about when we think of ice cream. At least for me, is it doesn't seem like it changes over the years. There seems to be a recipe for making good ice cream, and it sticks. Is that fair, or has it changed over the years?
Well, for us, it hasn't. We've been in business for 145 plus years, and so for us, it's remained very consistent. We make it the same way, using a French pot method, which many people have heard before, and use the best ingredients and continue to try and innovate with our flavors and things like that. But it, you know, I think the thing that's changed the most is probably flavors and people's palates and things like that. But good ice cream continues to use the best ingredients and be made in a small handcrafted batch type process.
And one of the things that I love about Graters is that it's the experience of going into one of your locations and just being, you feel like you're being taken care of. And this has come, I'm your fourth generation part of this family. You've probably been studying this for years, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I am part of the family. You know, I started working when I was 15 in one of our stores, and I was mentored by my aunt Kathy, and always have pretty much worked in the stores my entire career. And it's where the action is. It's where I love to be. I'm at work now, and if I wouldn't be on the call with you, I'd be down in our store here. We also in Cincinnati, we also have bakeries, so I'd be schlepping donuts at this hour, which is always just a fun thing. But yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, our stores were always known for you know, older, kind of blue haired, kind of crotchety old women, and we, you know, and they were incredibly loving and so forth, but they'd tell you, you know, tell you how to do it also. And so when I kind of had my chance to kind of change things, we implemented some really fun training to our teams and our folks and our people. And that has become a guest service has become a real big priority for, you know, our teams and what we like to do in our stores. So.
You said something there that sort of jumped out of the interview. You have donuts at a location in Ohio?
Yeah, in Cincinnati, since the late 50s, we've had a bakery, full-line bakery, and we have about 19 stores here in Cincinnati area that we deliver fresh bakery to every morning. And so that's, you know, it's also, it's not our core part of our business, but we brought it on in the late 50s when we wanted something to help round out our seasonality of the ice cream business, and that was a good fit for us. And it stayed around all these years, and it's seen lots of changes too, but we still make a full line donuts, Danish coffee cakes, all those kinds of things as well here in Cincinnati. Just can't quite deliver them to Chicago. I wish we could.
Well, maybe someday. Let's talk back to ice cream. You mentioned that over the years, things the ice cream has generally stayed the same, but it's the flavors that change. What are the hot flavors of ice cream nowadays?
Well, I mean, there's lots of really unique things that you are using, kind of crazy, fun, exotic ingredients. But we, you know, here at Graders, we kind of stick with what's worked, and which is kind of more of the indulgent fun. You know, we had in the summertime, starting around Mother's Day, which is something really fun that we've done for the last a number of years, is we have a summer bonus flavor program. And so every 2 weeks, we have a new flavor that comes out, and it's just available by dip in our stores. And some of the highlights this summer were, you know, we had a s'mores, we had a peanut butter a peanut brittle, we had a butterscotch latte. So this right now we have our last one is going on right now, and it's a vanilla malt chocolate chip. So it's a vanilla malt flavored ice cream with milk chocolate chips, and that's what we're really known for, is our chips. They're kind of big and whatnot. People love the chips, and so we've had a really great fun time all summer long. We've had an oatmeal raisin cookie flavor that was surprisingly amazing. We stick with the kind of the indulgent, more traditional type flavors, but we'll throw some fun stuff in there. We've got my brother Bob, who's the flavor master. He's always cooking up something kind of crazy. So we've got some fun stuff coming up in October as well.
Is there a part of, I mean, I'm sure you study ice cream trends not only in your neck of the woods there, but all over. Is there a part of the world that likes ice cream better than another?
Oh, gosh. I'm not that worldly traveled, so I can't say. But I think everywhere. I mean, I've always heard the Chinese love ice cream. You know, a lot of I've been to Europe a bit, and obviously the Italians love their gelato. But I think it's hard to say that no. I mean, everybody pretty much likes ice cream. You know, it's the flavors may be different, and they may be add different exotic ingredients to them. But I think everybody loves that frozen treat that we all kind of. Go to. So,
yeah, we're all familiar with the Northbrook location, but you opened the Winnetka location this year. How's that going?
It's doing well. We have an incredible team at both Northbrook and Winnetka, and we're very happy to have them with us, and they are phenomenal. They are doing a great job. I was up in May and got to see everybody, and hope to be up this fall to kind of just to say thanks for having a great summer and doing a great job. I'm Cincinnati, Ohio, but gosh, you go to Winnetka or Northbrook, man, that's a beautiful area right up on the lake. It's incredible.
What do you think is going to be the future of the ice cream business? If you had to predict it in 5 to 10 years, you think it'll still be the same, or will there be something different?
I'm sure hoping it's the same for us, because we've pretty much staked our hat on making it, you know, very laborious process, labor intensive process. But I think I'm hoping people will always want to come to a store to have that kind of outing, that family experience. It brings people together. It's fun, and it's usually takes you back down memory lane. So I'm hoping people, you know, we do a heck of a business, online business, sending ice cream to people, you know, through the mail or what have you. But I think that, you know, our trends seem to still think that people love to get out and with their families and reconnect, and so I'm hoping, you know, I think that still will be important for all of us. And and so we continue to invest and look at new locations for our bricks and mortar retail stores. So I'm sure, you know, trends will change, flavors will change, but, you know, it's funny, over the last, you know, gosh, since I was a kid, you know, flavors have still stayed the consistent. You know, our number one flavor is black raspberry chocolate chip, and it's been that for the last, I don't know how many. it's amazing how much of that flavor we sell.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Well, Chip, great you to be with us this morning. All the best to you and everybody at Grater's Ice Cream.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Chip Grater is the Chief of Retail Operations at Grater's Ice Cream. Again, the location in Chicago, Northbrook, and then Winnetka now, too. And you can follow them on Twitter at Grater's and find them online at Grater's.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures pointing up. Up about 32 points this morning. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well, so it could be a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Let's find out what's happening in the world of agriculture with commodities this morning. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. We're looking at a pretty good overnight trade in soybeans at the Board of Trade because of two events that happened this week. Commerce Department announced Tuesday it would impose duties on soy-based Argentine biodiesel imports that it said were unfairly subsidized. And while soybean oil is trading at about 34, 35 cents a pound at the moment, one analyst said soybean oil could test 40 cents a pound because of the decision by the Department of Commerce. And then a pretty good week so far in soybean sales to China. 2 million tons for the shipping season that starts September 1st. Well above expectations of 400,000 to 600,000 tons expected by analysts. And even a little good news in the live cattle trade, bouncing back after short covering and bargain buying came into the market. And as a result, we saw the August cattle contract, which, by the way, expires the last day of this month, and it ended 30 cents higher at $105.95 a hundredweight for cattle. So we're going into a good weekend weather-wise, but it continues to be much cooler than a lot of us expected in August. That's generally a pretty hot month for maturing crops, and we haven't seen the heat so far. And now we're keeping an eye on how much rain will come ashore down in the Gulf Coast, because ultimately, Steve, that hurricane rain that moves into the Gulf tends to swing north and up the Mississippi Valley. But right now, for the weekend, it looks good for the half century of progress show down at Rantoul, Illinois. Max is already there, and I'll be joining him on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll have the band, we'll have some interesting guests, and of course, we'll have some absolutely fascinating farm equipment from the olden days, how we used to do it in farming.
Very nice. Orin, I have to tell you, when I went down to southern Illinois, it was my first trip really across the state this year, and I have to tell you, the crops look really good. I drove through a lot of the rural areas, and I have to tell you, the corn looked really, really good.
Well, as I, and it does look very good. As I've mentioned, after a couple of flying trips in Air Orion South, it changes once you get south of I-80. North of I-80, still a lot of results of ponding and flooding earlier in the planting season. But once you get south of Interstate 80, and of course that's where you travel to Carbondale, yeah, I would agree with you. Looking pretty good.
Yeah. So. On the calendar, too, we have a Farm Progress Show next week, right? That's the big week next week.
Yeah, we go from the old farm equipment this week at Rantoul to the newest and the latest in technology and equipment next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it'll be on display in a huge exhibit field with exhibitors, I think over 600 companies exhibiting. We'll have a lot of foreign visitors from South America, particularly from Japan, from China. And, of course, Max and I will be there on stage every day at noontime in the ADM tent. And I'll tell you, Steve, there's going to be a fair amount of political activity. Secretary of Agriculture Perdue will be on the grounds on Wednesday, as will be the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Mike Conaway of Texas, and the ranking Democrat on the committee, Colin Peterson of Minnesota, and they'll be holding a farm bill hearing as well. So there'll be a fair amount of activity dealing with the political world.
All right. Orion, thanks for being with us this morning, and have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Orion Samuelson, make sure you listen tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. to Orion and Max for the Saturday morning show right here on WGN. The WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook now for Friday, August 25th. The big event today, really the only event on the economic calendar, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen will speak at the Jackson Hole Economic Policy Meeting, a symposium. It will begin at 9 o'clock Chicago time, so the markets will have just opened during her speech. Later in the day, the European Central Bank Chair Mario Draghi will speak. That'll happen after the European markets are closed. Also today, the sentencing of James Robert Liang in Detroit. He's a former Volkswagen engineer who pleaded guilty for his role in the conspiracy to defraud U.S. regulators and Volkswagen customers by that emissions scandal. And Madden NFL 18 is released today for Xbox and PlayStation for those of you who like to do gaming. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, August 25th.